Welcome to the MUFG Global Markets Podcast. I'm George Goncalves, Head of U.S. Macro Strategy here at MUFG, and I'm joined by Eric Ruff, who is a Senior Analyst and part of the IG Credit Desk Analyst Team. It's Wednesday, January 12th, 2022. This is your first time, Eric, so welcome to the wonderful medium of podcasts.
Thank you very much, George. Good to be here. Thanks for having me. Look forward to our conversation.
No, likewise, me too. And as a reminder for our listeners, this is part two of a three-part series on broader U.S. fixed income market views, one that is tied to our recently rolled out 2022 outlook, where again, the tables have turned. I'm the one that's doing the interviewing and asking the questions of our desk analysts across the various desks here at MUFG. So Eric, you know, thanks again for your time. And we'll start off the first question, focusing on some of the prepared content that you contributed to our 2022 outlook on the broader U.S. fixed income markets. And we'll get to the more sector-specific kind of questions in the second part. But I thought maybe it would be a good way to kind of kick things off by focusing on just a broader IG market and just the IG spreads and what our thoughts are and what went into formulating our views as we look ahead.
Yeah, sure. Thanks, George. Happy to start things off. So for investment grade spreads, what we did is we kind of gave a range here for 2022, meaning we expect investment grade spreads to range from, say, 85 to 125 bips. That's in order to account for some of our views of kind of what George was talking about of tale of two halves this year of growth in the first half with possible some economic deceleration in the second half of this year. Interesting how we came about that range. I'll give a little bit of background. We examined monthly IG spreads for the Moody's Corporate Bond Index since Bloomberg only goes back to 1989. So the Moody's index went back to 1953, enable us to study the many economic cycles that have happened. And what we did is we compared the change in the IG index to the generic US Treasury curve on the 10-year. And we went through, identified each economic cycle and what the spread change was. And then we calculated a weighted average spread estimate based on our probabilities for what 2022 might hold. So then we added a range to that. So our weighted average spread came out to 90 basis points. So that's where we came up with a range of 85 to 125. So in order to allow for some potential economic deceleration in the second half of the year.
No, thanks for that, Eric. And I do think it's going to be an interesting year. We're already seeing some volatility, especially in the more liquid products, and even some other credit markets have seen some volatility at the beginning of the year. But why don't we go a little bit further and go into some of the the key sectors that we focus here on MUFG, which you also covered in your piece in the outlook.
Yeah, sure. We are constructive on utilities, technology, communications, and pharma healthcare. And we're slightly cautious with some caveats on energy, capital goods, retailers, and food and beverage. And I'll give a little bit of background of how we got there. Couple interesting points that I want to point out in our report is when we ran the each sector spreads and compared it to the five-year average difference versus the total IG index, came out with a couple interesting observations. One is the utility sector currently is 13 basis points wide of the total aggregate index versus its five-year as actually one basis point tighter than the index. So That could indicate some potential cheapness in the utility sector. Similarly, with technology, that came out to currently 11 bips tighter than the aggregate index versus a five-year average of 21 basis points tighter. So again, looking at maybe potential cheapness in the tech sector. Other sectors such as energy and consumer cyclicals, those seem a bit tight versus their five-year average. So that leads us to at least a little bit of caution here. So with that said, let me go into quickly, kind of go through our basic views on each sector. And of course, our sector analysts are always available to opine on this and further. But just as a very high level kind of summary here, starting on constructive. So utilities, we tend to like because the sector is shifting more to more regulated utility business mix. And we think that's helpful for credit. Technology, very strong demand is continuing for computing, cloud applications, and of course, semiconductors, which we've heard a lot about, and enterprise storage and software. So it's almost across the board that tech sector still is experiencing high demand, granted with the supply chain issues, but those are expected to be alleviated later this year. And some new semiconductor capacity is expected to be added starting next year. Going to communications, the focus there is on the 5G technology buildouts. Now, granted, that's a lot of heavy CapEx up front, but the big telco companies are also focused on deleveraging after their large spectrum purchases last year. So we're constructive on that. And then pharma healthcare, we see very healthy balance sheets, large cash balances. The companies are focused on more tuck-in acquisitions versus any large strategic deals, and no large patent expiration cliffs until 2025. On the cautious side, we mentioned energy, partly due to the volatility in oil and gas prices, as we've seen recently here. Capital goods and retailers and food and beverage, the concern there is on continued inflation, labor shortages, and supply chain issues, although we'll see how that, if it gets alleviated later this year. Food and beverage is a bit mixed. The beverage companies are experiencing actually very good growth and demand as public events open up, albeit with the Omicron might affect that in the near term, but the trend is still there, and they've posted pretty good earnings. More cautious on the packaged food side, which is having a tougher time with inflation not being offset by price increases. So I'll stop there. That's a brief overview of our sectors, George.
That was really good to go through that and great level of details. I'm sure our listeners will appreciate it. And maybe we'll conclude by focusing back to the macro, which we discussed at the beginning of the podcast. And this concept that we put forth on the macro strategy side, which is a big theme of ours for 2022, which is the interplay between Fed policy and financial conditions and the potential for negative feedback loops. So, I was thinking like maybe kind of through that prism, it could be at times, and I know that you have a pretty decent range that we kind of came up with for IG overall index, but fundamentals could at times just be put on the back burner. So how do you kind of view, these risks that, we've outlined around financial conditions and what it might mean for credit markets, especially because there is obviously some, still leverage in the system. It's inherently there always, sometimes better than others in different time periods, and a pretty big concentration of ratings around BBB, and a lot of debt was issued, coming out of the pandemic. So just kind of thinking through, spreads are, still closer to the bottom of the range versus the top of our range. How do you think about financial conditions through that world?
Right. Yeah. Good question, George. I'm sure this is going to be on a lot of our clients' minds here as we go into the year. And already, we've seen some pretty drastic changes in the Treasury curve especially in the 10-year yield going up. Triple B's is an interesting spot. Obviously, it makes up at least 50% of the total IG index. So there has been some concern here and there about, could there be a wave of downgrades, especially if the Fed goes too far, too fast, and inflation gets affected and maybe starts hitting, corporate earnings slowdown, or maybe even kind of in a worst case, if you call it some type of correction later this year. But I think there are some mitigating effects here that we need to point to. One thing being these companies, in general, and not just talking about the lower rated, but also, across the IG index, is generally the corporate balance sheets are very healthy with high cash balances. In fact, a total of 1.8 trillion or so across the board on the whole IG index. And that's near an all-time historic high. Obviously, a lot of that was issued from the pandemic. And what's happening now is, yes, they are companies are increasing share buybacks and increasing shareholder rewards as a result, since some of the COVID impacts are relaxing and things, some earnings are going back to normal. So they're offloading some of that cash. But it's still, when you look at the overall leverage of the corporate index, it's interesting. It's still at only 3.2 times, which is very close to its both its 3-year average and its 10-year average. So in general, corporate leverage is still relatively low or steady. And with a high cash balance, that means the balance sheets are in pretty good shape. Also, when you look at the trend of healthy corporate earnings, other than the inflation, labor shortages, and supply chain issues, which supposedly, market participants thinking it should alleviate later this year, we'll have to see how that goes. But again, the demand, overall underlying demand is still there, and we don't see anything too drastic that would cause corporate earnings to really plummet. Also, we're looking at very low default rates, I think near record low default rates in the corporate IG world. Also, very healthy new issuance calendar is expected this year. About 1.3 trillion seems to be the market estimate, and that still places it among the top four years when you look at 2017. 2020, of course, and 2021's near 1.5 trillion. That's still a very healthy new issuance calendar. So a lot of cash to be put to work there. I think the risks, that's why we did put out the wider range there. But we're still relatively constructive on the overall IG market because of the relatively healthy fundamental trends that we're seeing here, George.
Oh, thank you. Thanks for that, Eric. I mean, it definitely sounds like a cautious but very constructive outlook, and one where we have some breathing room, and where if there were to be any sort of cheapening, there's definitely demand, sounds like, on the margin to kind of come in here and support the IG market. And so in many ways, it kind of ends up being like your title of the piece, which was, a year of credit differentiation, sector picking, but by and large, not one to be too terribly concerned about. Now, we'll wrap things up there. Thanks for that, Eric. I mean, it's great to have a new voice on the MUFG podcast. Hopefully this is the start of many more to come. For those that haven't received our report, please, check out our 2022 Macro to Markets Outlook report, which features many of these points that was made by Eric, as well as some interesting charts and tables. And lastly, we'd like to remind our listeners, for those that are not receiving our strategy reports and you would like to receive them, please email your MUFG sales coverage or get in contact with myself directly on email or Bloomberg. Thank you for listening to the MUFG Global Markets Podcast. Rate, review, and subscribe on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts, and reach out to your MUFG sales rep for any further information. Check back soon for more insights from the Global Markets Research Team.